guy who is one of the very first authors we ever had. And when we started As a Man Think, it's an outstanding book, Breaking Through Limitations. If you haven't had it, I would encourage you to get that book either in paperback or ebook from our site. And I first heard about John when I was reading Born Rich, and if you've read the book, I hope you have. It was part of the downloads for this program. There's a, in a chapter in there, Bob Proctor talks about John Canary. And really, it was a very inspiring, encouraging story to me, and so it was even doubly good for us whenever we had the opportunity to develop a relationship with John. John has taught Born Rich around the world. If you've seen the Born Rich DVD or video, you see John on there with Bob. He's taught it around the world. I was talking to him today. He's going to Malaysia and Singapore on the way there next week. So he knows this material as good as anybody, except maybe perhaps Bob Proctor, and he may know it better than Bob, as a matter of fact. So without any further ado, from somewhere outside of Toronto, Canada, I want to welcome to the call Mr. John Canary.
Well, thank you very much, Vic. Good evening, everybody, and welcome. Vic, I'm going to start with an assumption that everybody that's on this call this evening, and please, Vic, interrupt me if I'm not coming through clear. But
yeah,
I'm going to start with the idea that everybody on this call this evening have exactly the same thing in common. And it is something that I start a program with in a different city or a different part of the world almost every day. And I take and I put a big R on a whiteboard, an overhead, or, you know, now, of course, PowerPoint. And I put that big R on there, and I suggest that everybody that I'm working with that particular day, including myself, is that the one thing we have in common is to take this R and let it represent the word results. And when we talk about results, let's look at results in three basic areas. And you may have touched on this a bit with Bob. However, I'll go over it just a little bit again to kind of fit into the call this evening, because I want to talk about the image maker. And when you look at your results tonight, today, where you are right at this moment, whether it's 6 o'clock in San Diego or 9 o'clock in the East Coast, I want you to think about your results in terms of health. And let me ask you, and you'll answer in your own mind, wouldn't you agree that health is probably, on a scale of 1 to 10, is the most important area of your life? And on a scale of 1 to 10, I know you would give that a 10. But if you were to give yourself a mark on how well you're looking after it, what kind of a mark would you come up with? Would it be a 5, or would it be an 8? Would it be a 9? I want you to just make a mental note, or if you got a pen and a pad out, give yourself a mark with terms of health as related to results. And then go to the next one, and that's called our happiness. You know, a number of years ago, as I was doing a little bit of a run around a park in Malaysia, where I'll be next week, I finished the run, and at the end of it, there were some people doing Tai Chi. There was a good dozen people doing that. And, of course, I'm attracted to that because while some people golf and have their own little things that they do, martial arts is something I love to do. It's something I love, and I do it on a regular basis. And as I stood off to the side, the man who was teaching the class that they would call the master, we would call the teacher, he motioned to me to join in, which I did. And at the end of the class, they had a little thing called Wisdom Bits where they all sit around in a circle, and he asks questions. And there was a dozen people there. And the question he asked is, what is the one thing on earth that people want every day? And he followed it up by saying happiness. And he said, let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important would happiness be in your life today? And everybody said a 10. And he said then, what needs to happen for you as an individual? What needs to happen for you to be happy today? And he looked at the lady beside him and asked her for an answer, and she said, peace on earth. He said, you will have a lot of unhappy days. Then he went to the next person, and this individual said, well, people to respect and like me a little bit more. And he said, you will have more unhappy days than this lady. Now, he said, the answer to that question is that nothing needs to happen for you to be happy today, except you must make a decision to be happy. So I'm going to ask you to give yourself a mark in terms of happiness, in terms of health, on a scale of 1 to 10 as to how important it is. But then give yourself a mark on how well you're doing in each of those areas. And if you go to the last one here, in terms of wealth, in terms of our income, in terms of how well we are doing in our career. On a scale of 1 to 10, everybody tells me it's a 10. But you know what's interesting? That seems to be the one area that people appear to be struggling with more than any other. Now look at those three areas. What marks did you give yourself? For health, you want a 10. What did you give yourself? For happiness, you want a 10, but what did you give yourself? And for income, career, your money, those things that you need to do to earn the money you want to earn, to live the way you want to live, give yourself a mark, and I know it'll be a 10, but what have you given yourself? Now, there's one thing that you and I know for certain, and we learned this very early in school, that the laws of life are create or disintegrate. In other words, your results today, no matter where they are, they will not remain very long. You're either going to get better or you're going to get worse. A great mentor of mine that I had the opportunity of shaking his hand before he did die was Norman Cousins. And I'd strongly urge you to get Norman Cousins, the movie of his life, which is played by Ed Asner, and it's called The Anatomy of an Illness. He was working very closely with a man named Albert Schweitzer, who won the Nobel Peace Prize. And he was asked one day, what is the problem or what is the greatest tragedy with people today in terms of their health, their happiness, their wealth? And he said, it's in the things we let die within us while we live. And you want to really think about this, because when your head hits the pillow tonight, now we're going to get into the cause of this, of course, the image maker, but when your head hits the pillow tonight, how much more could you have been this day as a person? Could you have worked out today? Could you have done a little bit more today? Could you have been a little happier today, or maybe enhanced the life of someone else? Could you have done a little bit better today as a boss? Could you have done a little bit better in sales? Could you have done a little bit better in your career? How much better could you have been this day while you live? Because tonight you won't be able to do that all over again, so far as we know. You can start again tomorrow, but you can't live today again tomorrow. But tomorrow you can begin again. Well, let's think about, what are the causes of that? Where do we begin to alter the results? Well, I'm speaking strictly from experience when I say this, not something from a book. And I tell you, before God Almighty and on my granddaughter's life, I don't even have a sheet of paper in front of me tonight to list any of these points. I'm just going to tell it to you the way it happened to me. When I found out that there's only two areas of change that an individual can make or needs to make if they're going to improve their health, their happiness, or their wealth. And that first area, we could say, is the area of training, the area of skill, the area of knowledge, the things we need to know and the things we need to do if we're going to create an atmosphere where we're going to be more successful. Or we are responsible for the conditions and circumstances, you could say, we create. Now, if we don't like the conditions and circumstances, maybe the first order of change could alter it. And that's in the things that we do. Like I do a sales course. There's people that come into that sales course, take the information, go out and use it, and some of them get results immediately. Some never get results. That's because the first order of change is not where the problem is. The second order of change is where we change what the person believes about themselves. In other words, who you believe you are. So I want you to think for a moment. You look at your results. You look at your, you'd like to be maybe a little happier. And again, that's a decision you have to make. You'd like to be a little healthier. That would require you doing things maybe a little differently. And you'd like to be, or you'd like to earn more money. Well, when you look at it, do you need to change what you're doing, or do you need to change who you believe you really are? Because here's the question I'd like to pose or present to everybody tonight. It's a question that was asked of me over 30 years ago. The question went like this. If our results are directly connected to the image, the concept that we hold of ourselves, the question then is, will your self-image, the image that you have created, that you have made in your mind, through your likes, your dislikes, your experiences, your humiliations, your triumphs, your successes, your failures, since day one on this earth, have molded and fashioned an idea and a concept, an image, as to who you believe you are? will your image, this person that you believe you are, will it permit you or allow you to be a healthier, a happier, a more productive human being in the things that you do each and every day? That's a question you really need to ask yourself. Now, if you have your little workbook in front of you, the action planner, the image maker, you should be on page 21 of Born Rich. And at the very top of that page, it points out that the ideas contained in this chapter could very well be the breakthrough for you, because image making, once we get a firm grip on it, is a truly dynamic idea. Vic Johnson said something in an email that I read some time ago, that you cannot consistently act in a way that is inconsistent with your self-image. Now think about that. You cannot consistently act in a way, in a method, that is inconsistent with your self-image. You see, we have these here great visions and great, and I did. I remember when I had these beautiful images and ideas, you know, like grandiose ideas like climbing the mountaintops of life. But geez, I was still down in the campsite, never making any moves to go there. I had a grandiose idea. I was focused on what we could call the horizon, but the more and more I walked, I never got to the horizon because I didn't have anything in place, the things I needed to do that would literally change this concept that I held of me. I knew what I wanted, but in my wildest dreams, I never thought I was going to get it. I just thought that maybe by luck, maybe something would happen. Maybe there would be some miracle come upon me. And then one day on a flight, I was flying with Bob. We were going to Vancouver. And as we got to the foothills of Calgary, the plane started shaking and, you know, the vibration was unbelievable. We were being thrown all over the place. And, of course, if I go to Calgary today, that'll happen again because the air from the, you know, from the mountains, the foothills there, is flying up and hitting this plane and throwing it off course. Now, as this plane was moving about like that and, you know, our knuckles are getting white from hanging onto the seat, the captain walks out, and he leaned over to Bob and I, and he said, "Are you having a good flight, gentlemen?" Well, of course, as Bob said, I just wanted him to go back in there and pilot this plane. Bob then took out a sheet of paper, and he explained to me, he said, "You see, it received feedback, which was, you know, this wind hitting us and throwing us right off course. But," he said, "in the front of the plane, there's a little computer. As a matter of fact, there was probably seven of them. But," he said, "that computer, it measured the deviation from the chosen goal, which was Vancouver. It made corrections and brought us back on course so that we would make it to Vancouver, whether the captain was in the cockpit or not." He said, "You know, the same is true in our lives. We get thrown off track at times." And he said, "If we have the proper image, the proper idea, fixed in our subconscious mind, no matter what condition or circumstance, no matter what the feedback or obstacle is that throws us off course, you can be certain that is going to bring us back on course and take us on the way to the goal that we've established." Now, conversely, if we've set a goal for ourselves and the image we have of ourselves is not consistent with that goal, what do you think is going to happen as we start to do things to move us in the direction of that goal? Same thing. The image is going to measure the feedback, okay? The feedback from where it's always been. It looks at the goal, but the feedback is telling us all the things that maybe are all the reasons that we cannot achieve the goal. Now think about this. Would you say that you're focused on the goals that you want to achieve, or are you focused on what you need to go through to get there? This is a good way to measure the kind of an image that we're holding of ourselves. Do you focus on what you're going through, or are you focused on what you're going to? There's a huge difference there in terms of measuring what is called your progress. So go back to the workbook with me for a moment, if you will. In the second paragraph, I want to suggest right at this moment that you listen to the CD and read this chapter over a few times. Now, when I looked at that this afternoon, when I just put it up and just put it down to the bottom of my computer for tonight, I went through this lesson a number of times. But the one thing that I did very, very well is that I took the material and I used it every day, and I used something to measure exactly what it is I was doing to see if I was making progress. In other words, when you create an image of the kind of a life you want as an individual, as a family, as a business, whatever that might be, that image, that is the very first step. We all know that. We call it goal setting. I prefer to call it living out the image that you have of the life that you want to live. And when you develop that image, the second thing that goes with that is your self-talk. What is your self-talk telling you about this image that you hold? Well, when you listen to the CD, it's almost like you don't hear the CD anymore. What you do is you just hear this communication going on between your conscious and your subconscious mind. And as Earl Nightingale said, we become what we think about. Well, that's where the thought process is interrupted. You're listening to something on the tape, and suddenly it's interrupted by an idea where you say, you know something? I can do something that I'm not doing that's going to move me in the direction of the goal. So that's step two. Step one, the image maker. Step two is your self-talk. And step three, it is called your commitment. Now, how does a person measure their own individual commitment? Well, if you were to put your calendar in front of me right now, that would tell me how committed you are to what it is you tell me you really want. That's number one in terms of commitment. Number two, the activities that you engage in. Tell me about your commitment. In other words, are there two things that you do consistently every day that move you toward the image that you're trying to build in terms of the life you want to live? So number one, in terms of am I committed? Number two, is our activity. What kind of activities am I involved in? What does my calendar tell me about what I'm doing every day? Number three, what kind of people do I spend my time with? Now, please don't misunderstand me. People who may not be where you want to be in life could be very, very helpful to you. It does not mean they're negative. There's nothing that irks me more when I hear someone refer to someone who's not doing as well as them as a loser or as a negative individual. I think that person maybe needs a little checkup and a neck up themselves. Well, what kind of people do you spend your time with? Are they the kind of people you want your children to be like, to be around? Are they the kind of people you invite home for dinner? Are they the kind of people that inspire you, that make you look at maybe a brighter side of life, recognize that there are things going wrong in life, but maybe are able to get you focused again in the direction you're going in? Are they people that challenge you and tell you the truth? Very, very important in terms of commitment. Number four, in terms of how committed am I to the image I'm trying to build, is my spiritual life. Now, by spirit, I don't mean how many times do you go to church or do you hang around with reverent people. But, you know, in terms of a spiritual life, is there's where your commitment to people comes in. There's where your commitment to, you know, that you really do want, that you want for others what you want for yourself. This is where, you know, you're involved in caring that people really do succeed. That, to me, is the true mark of a spiritual individual. You know, years ago, I truly admired clever people. Truth is, I still do, to a large extent. However, if they're not kind, I really don't have a lot of time for them. And I think that a person who's very clever, very bright, or a person who is very focused, but has that extra little moment where they have a sense of kindness, I believe that that is true measure of the spirituality of that individual. So think about this again. Number one is, am I an image maker? Well, an image maker is an individual who can measure where they're going with their self-talk. You know, self-talk is the opinion you have of yourself. The self-talk is how you deal with some of the negative feedback you get in your life. And number three, of course, when we talk about commitment. Image maker, what kind of an image are you holding? How clear is that image? How compelling is that image? How consistent are you with that image? And, of course, you measure that commitment with your calendar, with your activities, with your relationship, and with your spirituality. They're the areas that I believe that we need to focus on in building a real solid image. Now look at the third paragraph on page 21. The knowledge of image making eliminates competition from your life by moving you from the competitive plane to the creative plane. Well, I'm sure Bob has mentioned that we work so much on a competitive plane, and we work in a competitive plane because we seem to believe that the circumstance has more power than us, or that some other individual has more talent than us. When we really practice image making, when we take time each and every day to start our day, and I would strongly urge you to have a good 8.5 by 11 page written out, very clear and very compelling and very consistent with who you want to be. And as you write out that page and you read it to yourself slowly each day and then close your eyes, and this is what I do before I ever do a seminar, and I've done this now for 30 years, is I close my eyes and I literally see everybody in that room. They are just living in this circle of a beautiful white light. Now, that's just my way of relating and calming down and getting in touch with my subconscious mind and getting some of the ego stuff out of the way, you know, on whether the people like me or don't like me. And I go through that image every day. It's a movie that I live, and I will do that 15 minutes before a seminar and get totally, totally relaxed, or as some people would say, in that proper state or that proper vibration before I walk on that platform. It's almost like a feeling comes over me to say everything is all right. So I have the knowledge of building that image, and it immediately takes away that competition out of my life. The competition being that I believe that there's the possibility that other powers, other forces, other people, can overwhelm me. Okay? Well, I take that out of my life, and I get more in touch with the creative side. Now, I can tell you that's not perfect every day. But you'll soon understand, as it points out here on page 21, that if you do this consistently, and I'll challenge you on this one, if you can do this for 90 days, you'll do it for the rest of your life. If you do this for 90 days, you're going to start to experience what the truth about you really is. And only you will know that, if you will do it, getting in touch with that higher self, with that image you're trying to build. See, think about this. All change begins on a conscious level, but it can only happen on a subconscious level. And that's the trick of this here whole thing. For those of you, for example, that are in sales on this call, and I'm sure those of you who are not will probably relate to this. If you consider this for a moment, when you take a sales person who makes calls every day, I mean, you have two salespeople. One is making calls every day. The other is making calls every day. One is getting results and one is not. Well, think about this. If you have not formed the habit of calling on people who are unwilling to listen but are able to buy, then you obviously have formed the habit of calling on people who are willing to listen but are not able to buy. Now, what is the difference in the two images those two salespeople are holding? One is operating on a competitive plane. The other is operating on the creative plane. The one on the competitive plane, they need to, in the order of change, they need to change who they believe they are. They really need to change who they believe they are. They're doing the things. They're doing it. They have the skill. They have the knowledge to do it. But who they believe they are, the image they hold of themselves, is not getting the result that they want. And until they admit the truth to themselves, that it's the image, the concept, the belief that they hold about themselves, they're going to be forever operating on this competitive plane. So you'll understand, as it points out in 21 here, that in truth, the only competition that we will ever have is in our own ignorance. So build the image. The Spanish distiller pointed out here. The good life, he said, is expensive. There is another way to live that does not cost as much, but it isn't any good. And the difference is in the concept or in the image that we hold of ourselves. So my question, again, going back to where I started, will your self-image permit you to be as happy, as healthy, and as wealthy as you want to be? When you lay out and write out your image, and you take this here lesson here with a CD, and you listen to it, not once, not twice, but just do the lesson and the CD every day, and as I said, for 90 days, I promise you, you will notice that you start making better conscious decisions that start to influence your subconscious mind, changes a whole vibration in your life, sets up a whole new set of attractions that start to come into your life, and it's kind of almost like a wow-type experience as this thing starts to happen to you, because it's exactly what happened to me. If somebody had told me this was going to happen to me where I've been in these last 30 years, I would never have believed it. And that's all I started with was a desire and somebody that believed in me more than I did. So I hope that's a start for us this evening, and I hope it creates some questions for you and will cause you to at least consider that there's more to you than maybe you even realize, and that the circumstance pales in comparison to the power that you have when you make a conscious choice to be who you want to be, not what the circumstance are dictating you should be. Vic?
Very good, John. Appreciate that sharing. And before I open it up for questions, you and I talked this afternoon,
yep.
And we were talking sports, and we were talking Chicago Cubs, and you said something after we hung up. It just really made me think about tonight's lesson. You said, you know, I said something along the lines of the Cubs just couldn't see themselves winning the championship.
I really believe that, you know.
And I want you to elaborate on that. Cause
yeah, I will.
At least for us sports fans, that's a current event that, you know, that's a highly relatable to the image maker, I think. So
well, I'm glad you reminded me
that,
of that.
You know?
Yeah, I'm really glad that you reminded me of that. We all know that when somebody puts on a Yankee uniform, and this is a Canadian speaking, of course, but when a person puts on a Yankee uniform, it seems they're you know, their energy, their productivity, their skill, everything seems to improve by about 20%.
Right.
There's people that perform much better in New York than they do anywhere else.
Right.
Well, a number of years ago, when when Boston and the Yankees, Boston were way out in front of the Yankees, and some people on this call may be too young to even remember that, Vic, but I'm sure you do. And you being an old sports guy yourself. But they were 17 games, I think, in front of the Yankees. And suddenly, they found themselves tied with the Yankees. They had to play an extra day, and Bucky Dent hit a home run for the Yankees to go into the World Series. They brought in psychologists to examine what happened. The psychologist said that Boston couldn't believe where they were at that time in the season, and they kept wondering, where are the Yankees? And they kept looking for them until they found them. Now, I really believe what happened to the Cubs in the last three games is the image, I believe their self-worth got in the way. I really think they sabotaged themselves in terms of, do we really deserve what it is we want? Because as Nightingale taught us when we first get into this business, Nightingale always said, you never get what you want, you only get what you deserve. And I really think they sabotage, and remember, sabotage is something we do silently. It's not something that we do openly. And I really believe they talked their way into this loss just by watching some of the things that they were doing. I mean, why would Sammy Sosa go 0 for 3 or 0 for 4 in the biggest game in his career? It just seemed that there was a different energy on that team than there was on the Marlins.
And the reason I thought it was so relatable, John, to what we were talking about tonight is there's people on the call who are in similar situations where they are just on the edge or just on the verge of winning the championship, whether it's at work or whether it's in their business or whatever it is.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And maybe they've been there before and they've sabotaged themselves and not even realized it. Just all of a sudden everything seemed to go to Hades there in a heartbeat, and they couldn't figure out what it was, and it's that self-image, because you're going to correct whatever action, like the example you used about the airplane correcting itself, you're going to correct yourself back to the image that you hold of you. So if you get out there too far and you're performing too far out in front of your self-image will correct you back to the image you hold of yourself. And so I hope that generates some questions, because that was something that was amazing to me when I learned it, because it explained to me why I sabotaged myself so many times along the way. So, John, thanks for sharing that. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open it up for some questions.
Ron, Ron from Wisconsin.
Hi, Ron.
You know, let's say someone has a poor image or they've been working on their image. Is there a way to kind of accelerate? I mean, here you talk about the Cubs, you know, maybe their image was a poor image.
Mm-hmm.
They have done something different in a short period of time that they had.
Well, I don't. Yeah, sure they could. They could have changed that in 5 minutes. I don't think it was the poor image they had. I think what had happened is they didn't have an image to win. And the only thing they were experiencing is they've never won. And I think that was had everything to do with their self-talk. If you recall, part of the message here tonight, I mentioned that it all begins with an image you create of the life that you want to see yourself with, and then the self-talk that you build around that.
Okay.
I think they had an image they wanted to win like anybody else, but I think they talked themselves out of it by virtue of, you know, the Marlins just refused not to win.
Well, you know, Ron, I think one thing is, you know, the Cubs are human beings too. And it was impossible to go anywhere, whether it was on the radio or television or wherever. All you heard for that whole week or so was 95 years, the last time, you know, it was this long historical thing. It was so unbelievable that those players, you know, fairly young folk, not necessarily negative, I think, but just, you know, this happens a lot. We see it a lot in sports where a team that hasn't ever participated in a championship game gets there and doesn't know what, you know, doesn't know how to perform, doesn't know how to act, basically, because they've never been in that situation before.
Right.
Yeah, and some people get into those situations. I'll give you a great one, Terry. There was a guy that started working with Bob Proctor and me 30 years ago. He would, if he walked into a room that you were in, you would immediately want to go over and get to know this guy. He had that kind of effect on people. Now, the one thing though he did not have is he didn't have a belief in himself. He really didn't. We gave him an opportunity to speak in front of 500 people here in Toronto, which was a goal of his. This is the business he wanted to be in. And I really love this guy. And, you know, just enjoyed being around him so much. He walked up on the platform, and in the first 10 minutes, he walked off that platform and walked out the door. We did not see him for 12 years, Terry.
Wow.
For 12 years, Terry, we didn't see him. Now, Terry, it was a moment of decision, and I think that our lives is shaped in those moments. And it was a moment of decision that he could have made a decision to stay on that platform, even if he had fell flat on his face. He could have, but he didn't. He decided to leave. I made a decision 30 years ago in the same situation in Crown Point, Indiana, Merivale, Indiana, at the Holiday Inn. I made that same decision in front of 100 people. And the story is told in Born Rich, where the guy got up and said, "I'm sorry, Bob Proctor can't be here tonight, and I don't know a whole lot about this guy who's replacing him." That was me. And let me tell you, I mean, listen, I was terrified when I got there. When I walked onto the stage and I looked out and everybody had their arms folded, that was a moment of decision, Terry.
What a great introduction.
Well, you see, we got to stop thinking that we have to kind of like start working at building this self-image every day and make the decision first that I am worth the success that I want, whatever that might be. We spend more time fooling around with trying to develop an image or trying to achieve a goal, and I think it's because we struggle with the price rather than just make the decision. There's a great illustration I wanted to make sure everybody got here tonight about just how much power there is in a word, an image, or an idea, or a concept. And this was in the Globe and Mail in Toronto, which is the leading newspaper in this country. And it comes from Barry's Bay, Ontario, down outside of Ottawa, the capital of the province here that I know very well. And this priest is telling the story about the family gathering in a hospital room in Barry's Bay. around a man named Harold Cyblowski, who was 79 years old. He had been diagnosed as brain dead 10 weeks earlier, and he had been taken off life support systems and given the last rites. Then Cyblowski's two-year-old grandson, Jeffrey, sitting on the end of the bed, looked at his granddad, Pa, and yelled, "Grandpa, Grandpa." And guess what? Cyblowski got up off the bed and picked him up. "We still can't believe it," said Cyblowski's daughter, Susan. "Dad just sat up in the bed, stretched out his arms, and picked up his grandson." They have absolutely no explanation. I mean, they were just took him off life support to let him die. The voice of Jeffrey took him right out of the coma. Now, the Globe and Mail, they don't write stories like this. This is not the Inquirer, okay? And we hear these things over and over and over again. And, you know, we believe it about other people. Like, I know this happened, but do I believe that change can happen in me just like it happened in Harold Cyblowski? Yes, if the reason and the idea is powerful enough.
Great. Great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Else has a question for John.
Hey, John, this is Joe from Nebraska.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Tonight's lesson, you know, seems to be, you know, kind of hits me right between the eyes. You know, I've always had a goal in my life, you know, to make a seven-figure income in 1 year, you know, for a long, long time, ever since I was, you know, in my teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
I've always managed to, you know, to make maybe a low six-figure income, but for some reason, I just, you know, I get to a certain point, and then I all of a sudden just kind of stop doing what I been doing in order, you know, in order to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And is it because of the image that I hold myself? I really don't see myself or don't think that I can actually achieve that goal. Is that?
Well, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What's good about what you did do? Tell me, you know, how your life is achieving the goals you've achieved.
The goals that I have achieved have just been absolutely, you know, that made me felt really, really good. I've been able to help a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, provide a nice life for my family. And,
yeah.
I don't know, it just seems like I get to a comfort level, you know, and it seems like,
uh-huh.
well, I'm pretty comfortable here, and
yeah.
you kind of I kind of turn off the burners, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, tell me, what would be good about you moving to the next level?
I'd be able to help more people.
Well, how
and,
about helping you, though?
Well, pardon me?
Obviously, that's not enough.
This is Julianne from New York City.
Okay.
Huh? Obviously, it's not enough. Like, what would it do for you to help more people?
It would make me feel better about myself and make me feel better, you know, give me a good warm inner feeling about helping more people.
So what would you be doing then? Like, if you do this and you help these people, tell me what that
mm-hmm.
will look like, and, you know, and then who you are then, and what does it mean to you then? You know, does it take you to another level? Does it fulfill something you've never done? I mean.
Yeah, it would. It would fulfill something that I've never done before, which
mm-hmm.
would be helping, you know, more people along the way.
Yeah, do you have that?
And also, providing a nicer life for my family. Maybe send my kids to better schools, you know, that type of stuff. You know,
see, those reasons will do a whole lot more for you than just helping other people.
Okay.
You know, it's amazing how, you know, we say we want to help a lot of people.
Yep.
When really we skip over the people that we want to help the most.
Yeah.
You know, I would get back to the basics there if I were you, and I would take a like I have a goal book that I carry with me every day,
mm-hmm.
and in the front of it says all about goals, the life of John Canary, and on every page every day I'm writing something. I have my goals listed in there. I wrote out a clear page on how I want my life to be. I have affirmations in there. I write out, listen, I'll give you a thing I wrote today, for example, okay? Here's something
okay.
I wrote today. Life demands that I deal with situations, sometimes to change the situation, sometimes to change myself. And that blows me away, you know, that my mind teaches me stuff like that, you know? So I may be on a plane next week, and I'll read that, and it'll just ignite me to do something. But here's the idea. The book is about influencing my mind every day. It's like my garden is being cultivated every day. And as I keep doing that, guess what? Those seeds are starting to grow. So I think what you need to do is get real intense about the hours you're going to put into your business or into your goal every day.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure, though, that you take that special time, you know, for the family. I mean, don't give your family a great life financially and not a great one spiritually.
Okay.
Don't ever take that risk.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question too, curiosity. How many friends do you have that make seven-figure incomes?
How many friends do I have? I've got two friends that make seven-figure incomes per year.
How many friends do you have that make six-figure incomes?
Probably a half a dozen.
Okay. You don't have enough friends making seven-figure incomes.
Okay.
Well, I'd spend more time with them. I mean, Vic brings up a very good point there.
You know,
okay.
you're not thinking like a, you know, part of it is self-image, but also part of it perhaps is that you're not thinking how a person who makes seven-figure income thinks.
I agree with that.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd agree with that 100%.
And the reason, and in order to learn how a seven-figure income person thinks, you got to get around them. They don't have to be friends. They don't have to be golfing buddies or whatever, but you've got to get a mentorship or coaching or somehow you've got to be around people who are, you have to be around people who are where you want to be.
And if you go back to the one on commitment where I talked about the image maker, you have to be focused. It's your self-talk and your commitment. Go back to commitment, and I think Vic hit on it very, very well there. How do you measure your commitment? By your activities, by your calendar, and by your relationships. There's three areas.
Right.
Okay.
See, those relationships that help me. Even with my self-image, because I got around people who are successful, and I realized that they're human just like I am. It actually reinforced, in many ways, the good parts, the positive parts of my self-image. Okay.
Okay.
So, good question.
That's great.
Post it on your progress. And I'm gonna put us back on group now, so that we can find out from Mr. John what. Type of assignment he might have for us this week that would be in line with the image maker.
Well, a great assignment that I'd like to share with you. When Vic mentioned this to me this afternoon, I gave it some thought. And again, what I always like to do is measure what I did that worked rather than what someone just gave me or I got out of a book. And if you would take the time to write out the image of this person that you're working towards becoming. In other words, you make the decision, this is it, this is who I am, this is what I'm becoming, and I refuse to accept anything other than that. And then you need to ask yourself these two questions, and then you need to do them just for the next week, and this is what it is. What are two things that I can do beginning right now that I'm not doing now? And I'll say this a number of times, so don't hurry, that I'm not doing now, that if I were to do them, would make a definite change in my results this week. What are two things that I can do that I am not doing now, that if I were to do them, and I'll just add this in, consistently every day, would make a definite change in my results? Now, before I give you that once more, I go back to where I started on one of the quotes that I got from Vic Johnson. Is you cannot act consistently on something that is inconsistent with your self-image. What this will teach you as you take these actions, things that I can do that I am not doing now, two things that I can do that I am not doing now, that if I were to do them, would make a significant change in my results. When you start doing those two things, what will be revealed to you is the image you're holding versus the image you want to build. The awareness that will come out of those two activities, it'll teach you that, you know what? What I've been doing is I have been allowing my image and my moods to make my choices rather than my values and my goals. So what are two things that I can do that I am not doing now, and that if I were to do them consistently every day would make a significant change in my results? So that's the exercise for the next week.
That's powerful, John. That is absolutely powerful. I think that most people are really only one or two things away, changing one or two habits and doing it consistently. So thank you. That is just, that's, folks, that's worth the call. That's worth the whole teleseminar right there. If you do that one assignment, you will see a significant phenomenal change in your life. In a
absolutely. It'll teach you what your image is.
Absolutely. Thanks, John. And John, if you've got some closing words for us, what can you send us home with tonight?
Well, just what I, you know, I'm very emphatic about that I said somewhere in the middle of the program is remember it's your decisions and not your circumstance that's going to shape the results you're going to get. Don't wait for an image to come, and don't run around trying to prove to yourself that you're worth it. Make that decision that you are worth it. Make the decision you're not going to accept anything but the life that you want. Will there be times you fall flat in your face? Yeah, that's a signal that you're on the right track. When you feel uncertainty, remember what that uncertainty is telling you, that you've left your comfort zone and you're on the right track. Doubt and action are incompatible mates. When you doubt, take action, it'll disappear. Make the decision, believe you're worth it, believe you deserve it, and don't quit until that actually happens in your life. And I guarantee you, it'll be much better almost immediately.
Fantastic. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Mick.
And we'll see you guys same time, same channel, same time.